This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have a conversation today about worship, the theology of it, and how to prepare to be a worship leader through the OBU Worship Studies Program. Growing up, I remember people saying Christianity is the singingest religion of all, and we're going to explore more about why music is so important to Christianity and also how people can prepare to be a worship leader. So welcome to the podcast, gentlemen. We have Dr. Sims from OBU and Dr. Emerson.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
First of all, I want a full disclosure. I am often asked to sing solo at church. Solo, people can't hear it. So I want to say I don't really know a whole lot about this topic. So I'm going to need your help in helping me. I mean, I follow along like the next guy and do my best. I got to admit, maybe sometimes I might lip sync here and there when the notes get a little too high for me.
That's okay.
Yeah, but let's talk about it. First of all, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the theology of worship. First of all, the theology of worship and then theology in worship. What are your thoughts on those two topics?
Well, I would say when we're talking about the theology of worship, we need to know who we are worshiping and why. And that comes from a clear biblical understanding of who God is and what he's done for us throughout redemptive history and throughout the history of time. Because if we don't have a clear understanding, a clear biblical understanding of who God is, we don't know how to worship him. And without that clear understanding, our worship is really going to be, I would say, null. It's going to be weakened. And so we have to have a clear, again, I'll say a clear biblical understanding of who God is and what he's done for us, and more specifically, what he's done for us through the salvific work of his son, Jesus Christ. And so that has got to be clear. We as church members, people who are out in the seats worshiping, and those of us who are leading those people, those of us who are worship leaders, we need to have a clear understanding of who God is. And we need to proclaim that. We need to make that clear for our church members, for the people in the visitors who come. And so if we don't have a clear understanding of who God is and what he's done for us, I believe our worship is going to be weakened.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would add to that that understanding a theology of worship means understanding why we're worshiping. So what's the purpose of what we're doing in corporate worship on a Sunday morning? It's to be in the presence of this God that Dr. Sims has said we have to have this correct understanding of, this triune God. Our purpose as human beings is to be in the presence of the Lord and to dwell with him. And so when we come to worship, the point ultimately is to know and love God. Of course, that's going to have an impact on things like our emotional state and how we feel about life and being prepared for the work week and so on and so forth, a happy marriage, parenting, all that. It's going to have an impact. But the ultimate purpose for what we're doing is to know and love God. And so getting that purpose right, as well as our understanding of who God is right, those are vital for what we're doing as we worship. I think I would add very quickly to that, just that we're talking about music today, which I love, of course, but worship isn't only music. Worship is prayer, hearing the word read, hearing the word preached, taking the table, seeing baptism happen. Those are all elements of worship. Music is an integral piece to that, and we're commanded to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in Colossians 3, and lots of examples elsewhere in the Bible of music being a central piece of worship. But a lot of times people think of worship and narrow that down to music, and it's not just music that's worship. It's that whole aspect of corporate worship.
Why do you think worship is so music is so vital in worship?
Well, I think for one reason, it's one of our most expressive ways to show and to demonstrate our love and affection for the Lord. I know for some people, singing is not always something they feel comfortable doing. But it is one of our most expressive ways to show our adoration and our worship towards God.
Yeah, and biblically, you find throughout Scripture, I mean, so if you think about the history of Israel, the story of Israel, at significant moments in Israel's life, they stop and sing. So, for instance, Moses' song in Exodus 15, immediately after God has brought them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, he stops and sings. And that kind of thing punctuates the rest of Israel's story as well. And, of course, you know, the biggest book in the Old Testament is the book of Psalms, where David and others sort of lay their heart bare before the Lord through song. Again, you have Paul's commandment in Revelation, those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life sing a new song. So biblically speaking, music is central to our worship of God. That doesn't mean it's the only part of worship of God, but it's central to it.
You know, music is such a cultural thing. So like we have music outside of the church, obviously. There's, you know, there's lots of, and we become consumers of it and critics of it. And I think there's kind of like a discussion these days about how, you know, you approach worship as a product that you're consuming at church, and, you know, whether you, the worship leader, I don't like him, or I don't like that song, or, you know, let's talk about that, about the object of the theology in worship. You know, I think there's a part where we're so subjective, whether it be taste or, you know, getting encouragement or feeling encouraged or feeling something. And there's a sense where when we're worshiping in music, we're not even the audience. You know, it's singing to the Lord. Can you talk about that theology in worship? And
I think I would just share a story that I heard a pastor share, and I don't remember exactly who it was. It was somebody who's fairly well known. I'm not even going to suggest because I can't remember exactly, and I could be wrong. But they talked about the fact that a family came to their service one week, and they had lost a loved one. And the focus of the music was on knowing God. And then the sermon was on Isaiah 6, where Isaiah beholds the glory of the Lord. And this pastor just shared the idea, the reaction of the family, where they said what we needed today, which is what we need every day, was to be in the presence of the living God. And that necessarily lifted their spirits, not in a way where they forgot their sadness or their grief, but in a way where their grief was seen by God and known by God, and they're known by God because of who God is. And that is what impacted them emotionally. So, you know, I think we make the mistake sometimes of thinking that in order to look at the week in a way where we can react, where we can grow in our parenting or our marriage or our job, we have to think first about those specific things, when it's actually the opposite. What we need is to think first about God. And then we're helped in thinking about our job, our marriage, our kids, all the rest of what happens in our daily lives.
You know, worship is such a like you were saying, it's a way that we can align our hearts to an understanding of God and direct our praise to Him, because of, in spite of what we might be experiencing right now, we are aligning and we're confessing praise to God. We're focused on Him. And then that has the byproduct of helping us align a lot of the things in our life, with our family, our kids, our job, what we're doing. But the goal is to honor the Lord and put Him higher, and that puts things into perspective that makes all that stuff fall into place.
Right.
That's an important job, to lead a group of people at that, in that kind of moment, and to try to get people to not be distracted by all those things that are worrying them and all those things, and put God ahead of all that, and so that all that can align. We've got to worship Him. You know, worship as a leading the worship of a church is a calling. You know, can you talk about, like, if someone is, like, feeling, like, led in that direction, like, maybe God's calling me to be a worship leader, What kind of counsel do you have for someone who's like exploring that or feel like God's leading them to be a worship leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is something I talk with my students every year in their first semester class. First, seek the Lord in this in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Bathe this in prayer. I would get counsel from, like, if this is like a high school student, let's put that hypothetically, that scenario. If it's a high school student who's considering this and wrestling with this idea and this calling they sense, I'd be praying about this. I would counsel this person to seek counsel from their local worship leader in their church. Also seek counsel from their pastor mm-hmm. or pastors there. And what I would encourage this person to start thinking and asking is asking these other people, you know, I'm sensing this. What do I need to be doing here in my local church? I would encourage that student to find avenues to where they can get some ways to be plugged in. Because one of the things I really encourage our students to do, even when they come to us, is start getting some experience, start getting some hands-on experience, start getting some ways to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be sad if we had a student come to us, want to pursue worship studies, but they've never had any involvement in their local church when they were in high school.
Right.
And the church never had any opportunity to affirm their calling and affirm their giftings, or even if the church even knew about it. That is where the students really need to be getting their experience. That's where they need to be getting their feet wet, is in their local church,
mm-hmm.
doing that. Even if it's working technical stuff or if it's just helping with a song or two here or there, find some ways to get involved. Get some mentoring from their local pastor, worship leader, be talking with them, asking them questions. So, you know, what do you do on a weekly basis? What is your job like? You know, how do you see me being able to do that if this is what I feel God is calling me to do? Be searching through scripture and keeping your devotional time there, seeking the Lord through scripture, seeking the Lord through prayer, seeking his counsel through other people,
mm-hmm.
And even their parents, whether they're, you know, hopefully their parents are supportive of this, and if they're not, go seek those leaders in their church. That's where I would start.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would encourage those students, those people to start, especially for high school students.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in that perspective.
Yeah, and I think I would add to that, I echo everything Dr. Sims said. We have a call to ministry breakout session each week of Falls Creek over the summer, and we get kids every week who feel called to worship ministry. And then we have the call conference in partnership with Oklahoma Baptists and the student ministry team here in August every year. And we have lots of students who come and feel called to worship ministry. And we tell them, I mean, that's exactly what we tell them when they come is what Dr. Sims has laid out. I think one thing I would add, and this is true, I'll specify it for worship ministry, but this is something that's true for anybody called to ministry or, mm-hmm. or who's sensing a call to ministry or might express a call to ministry. For worship ministry in particular, being able to sing well and play a guitar and perhaps wanting to be on stage isn't sufficient
right.
criteria yes. for saying you're called to ministry.
Right.
Because worship leadership isn't only about being able to stand on a stage and lead people in singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pastoral responsibility.
Yep. Right.
And so there's a calling there that exists beyond musical ability. And I would say the same thing to somebody who says they feel called to preach. Okay, great. Is that just because you like to stand up and talk in front of people?
Right.
Or are you actually called to be a pastor?
Right.
You know, we can work down the line of different ministry areas. But for somebody who's called to worship ministry, often what I want to talk to kids about when they come to OBU is, okay, tell me about what that means for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just I can tickle the ivories and croon.
Right.
We're going to have a hard conversation at that point.
Yep.
Right. Go Nashville. Ivory. Do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about the value then, because like that's, you know, just like being a pastor requires, or preacher, you know, requires a good amount of preparation because you want to lead well, you want to be biblical, you want to be honoring God in your work. Same goes in worship arts as far as the music is concerned. Talk about the value of preparation.
I cannot state the importance of preparation enough. Like Dr. Emerson said, even worship ministry, as I see this, is a pastoral role. It's a pastoral ministry where you are shepherding the people, even through song.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other ramifications I could go in with that. But we have to be, as worship leaders, again, our job is not just on Sundays. That's where it's most visible. But there's a lot of preparation that has to happen throughout the week. And part of that preparation comes with understanding and knowing your congregation, knowing who they are, and knowing how to communicate with them, how to design a service that is going to be understandable for them, that's not going to be beyond their scope of what they're used to, if mm-hmm. I can say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it comes with an understanding of knowing who your congregation is, who they are, the demographics, age, you know, mm-hmm. age realms and all these things. Knowing what they're familiar with and what they're not familiar with. Preparation, biblical preparation. I always encourage our students, plan with your pastors. Plan with your pastors. Plan your service with your pastors.
Mm-hmm.
That may be 30 minutes and maybe a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
But find time to plan with your pastors. Please don't go into it. And hopefully, pastors out there as well, if you hear this, please don't expect your worship leaders to plan and fly solo for Sunday. This needs to be a joint effort between the lead pastor and the worship pastor, whoever those people are. This needs to be a joint effort so the church can see that this has been a joint effort, that this has been a pastoral endeavor to lead the congregation in worship for that Sunday.
Right.
There needs to be lots of preparation in regards to the songs. We don't just pick out and go to Song Select and pick out the top five and then go with that and just pick out some keys that work for us individually. We have to think about a congregation. But musically, we have to think about the vocal range for our folks. You know, you talked about, you know, when song gets too high or something, to the lip sync.
Yeah.
Well, for people, when it gets too high, that's not really enjoyable. We kind of start to experience a disconnect with them.
Right.
Even just the musical range of a song, if it gets too high or too low, we've lost some folks.
I can't bust out the falsetto.
And you can't do that. And so finding songs, first theologically, that match with the sermon and what the thrust is we want to go with, and then also finding songs musically that fit the range of our people.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be involved as much as possible. We don't want people to tune out. We don't want people to have to lip sync or get upset because they can't sing within this range. If we've done that, we've crossed a line that we can't fudge with anymore.
Yeah.
But there has got to be lots of preparation, biblical preparation, prayer, musical preparation, and it comes with knowing your congregation.
Right.
And it also comes, I think, with a great relationship with your pastor, because that is vital.
Yeah. And, you know, we have – so most of our ministry degrees at OBU are housed in the Hobbs School of Theology and Ministry. There's a couple of unique situations where there's specific training required, and so those ministry programs are housed elsewhere. So our worship arts degree is housed in the Division of Music,
mm-hmm.
for instance, because there's so much – music preparation that's necessary.
Right.
Our sports ministry degree is housed in the exercise science area because of the unique ways in which they need to be prepared related to exercise science. But what Dr. Sims just said is exactly what we would tell students in the Hobbs School of Theology and Ministry as well, that you need to be trained to be biblically rooted. So you need to know the Bible mm-hmm. if you're going to be a worship pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be trained to be theologically faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what Christians believe and why, and be able to see how songs and other elements of artistic worship relate to sound theology.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be trained to know, understand how those things are practically relevant. And one of the unique aspects of that for a worship pastor is the musical preparation that's needed, right? So
right.
We have pastoral ministry classes, we have things like evangelism, but then there are areas where you have specific skills and competencies that you need in order to go forward in this calling. And for worship arts, it's the music part. And so, you know, we work closely with our music faculty, the ministry and music faculty work together in order to help our students in worship arts also be prepared biblically and theologically as well as musically.
What do folks need to know about the worship program, arts, the worship studies program at OBU?
Yeah, I think they need to know that it's vibrant. It offers our students some flexibility as well. Yes, there's the musical core and the worship studies core, and it also offers our students some opportunities and options to look into, you know, graphic arts, into some even more theological avenues, some more communication arts if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Bachelor of Arts in Worship Studies. So it allows them to get the worship studies core they're going to have and some music core they're going to need, but also to be able to branch out and have some other course options available to them if they want to pursue some other things on the side. It's vibrant with history of worship. We have a course, a history of worship that I'll be teaching, I believe, next year.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Henson had, when we started this degree program, I think he started those classes, and my first year to be teaching those will be next year. We have history of worship, theology of worship,
mm-hmm.
Song of the Church, which outlines and studies basically the evolution of song, mm-hmm. songs as we use them in corporate worship and throughout history of the church. Leading worship from the guitar, leading worship from piano, technology and worship ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to keep it as vibrant and as relevant as we possibly can, knowing that sometimes we have to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Things are changing, as we see, day by day. Technology is changing constantly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, are we able to keep up with that all the time? Not quite,
mm-hmm.
but we do the best we can to make sure our students are staying adaptable and ready and flexible and ready to meet any needs that come their way.
What are some things that you see that make the worship arts program special as you compare it to other schools?
Yeah, I would say that at OBU, we want our students, no matter what area they're in, to be able to integrate their faith with all areas of knowledge. And, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to find that kind of statement at other universities, especially ones that have a worship program.
Mm-hmm.
I think for us, at least in my experience in Christian higher ed, we take that really seriously.
Yeah.
So both in our general education core classes and then also as we're looking into the major, I mean, you just heard Dr. Sims list off a number of different courses where it's not just about the musical ability. They're
yes.
also grounding them in the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, I'm certainly not speaking specifically about any other school, but I can just tell you that at OBU, we want both hands involved in preparing our worship leaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They need to be trained musically and they need to be trained biblically and theologically.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing both of those things with them and for them so that they can go into churches and not just be a stage leader, but be a pastor
mm-hmm.
or a minister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. What Dr. Emerson just said about biblical training and musical training, this is outlined in a book, The Life of the Worship Minister, which was written by Greg Bruton, one of my seminary professors from Southern, who just went to be with the Lord a few months ago. One of the big things he says in his book, and my freshmen, I hammer this in every semester, every fall semester. The two big things you need to be gaining in training, if the Lord allows you to come to college, OBU, thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm.
But if he allows you
bang?
To come, yes, plug in there for OBU. The two big areas of training you need to receive are in music and biblical theology.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what we were doing. That's what we're doing. Our theology department, I can't speak highly enough of what they're doing. When my students come to me for lessons or another class and they talk about what they're learning in vocation of calling or biblical ethics or some other classes they're taking, and they're excited. They love it. And so I'm thankful that they're receiving such a rich education, both musically and biblically.
I'll just add very quickly, since you mentioned the financial piece, we do have scholarships for our music students.
Yes.
And so that's an important piece of how we want to come alongside of our churches in our state, of the students who are called to ministry in our state, and say, we want to help you prepare, but we also want to prepare you, help you prepare in a financially responsible way. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's interested in coming and studying with us and they look at the sticker price and sort of their eyes pop out, come talk to me. I'll be happy to talk with you about it.
Sure.
Well, I can speak firsthand from that as a parent of a former OBU student. Sticker shock, you're like, oh, whoa.
Yep.
But it's really, there's so many scholarships.
Yep.
Yeah, there are.
Hardly anybody, maybe no one,
right,
is paying that. There's some scholarships.
Yeah, we won't go into all the details at this point, but you know, our average cost is comparable to our state institutions.
Yeah, it's very comparable.
Yeah.
So what are, like, you know, you have a lot of students, they come through, and what are some things that OBU students are using their degree for?
Well, we have some who are serving in local churches already. I could think of at least three or four of our recent graduates who are serving full-time in local churches, especially here in the state. We have students who've gone off to seminary to receive more specialized training, whether that be in missions, worship leadership, theology. Mm-hmm. I've had students go in kind of all three of those areas. We have some students who are still trying to work out exactly where the Lord would have them to be. Some students who are working around Shawnee locally. Some students who go out and work in schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on where they're at and what they're doing. But they're doing quite a wide array of things.
Very good. Well, and music is such a powerful way to learn things. And even in the earliest, you know, history of the church, for good and bad, there were theological songs, ditties that people learned that taught them the theology. So you're really putting a lot of the education into, you know, the things that people really remember are the songs. So
that's right.
It's very important. We put in the right stuff. Mm-hmm, but then I love that. You mentioned the mission stuff. Like, what a great calling to be on the mission field and to write those songs that really introduce the gospel and embed it in a culturally relevant way to a people group.
Wow.
Yes.
Good to know Oklahoma Baptist University students are doing that now and will continue to do that in serving in our churches around Oklahoma and the country. Anything else before we go, gentlemen?
No, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for having us.
Well, appreciate you joining us today. It's been a good conversation. Look forward to the Oklahoma Baptist University Worship Studies Program. Just go to the website,
okbu.edu.
And you can research about it and initiate some conversations about it.
Yep, that's sure. Right.
Very good. All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. And if you enjoyed this conversation, we have more like it at our website at baptistmessenger.com, or you can search for us wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Baptist Messenger and you'll find us there. And while you're at baptistmessenger.com, be sure to subscribe to the print edition of our newspaper. There's always stories there that aren't online, and we deliver this to your house for free thanks to your church and their gifts through the Cooperative Program. Thanks and God bless.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.